This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to America Tonight. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, as always, we're swinging for the fences here on the show. A lot to talk about. Obama with his final farewell. More on what's going on with Donald Trump in the transition, getting closer and closer to the inauguration. A lot of odds and ends, and we'll dive into that certainly as well. And I think you know how we roll on this show. It's all about what's buzzworthy. What's happening in your neighborhood? What's happening in my neighborhood? And how it affects us all. The tsunami. And there's a tsunami of opinions as we see a changing of the guard in D.C. And, of course, you know, we've been doing this show for a decade. And none of you are at a loss for words on this. So the mailbag is full coming up in our next segment. I'm going to hit the mailbag because this may be the most that we've ever gotten. I've said this before, but I want you to picture in your head, if I opened the America Tonight mailbag, if you saw me open it, I always say I would be up to my neck in physical mail. I would be suffocating with the mail, over what's happening in D.C., over cabinet positions, over what's going on as far as grilling Rex Tillerson and et cetera, who is Trump's nominee, of course, for Secretary of State. And in fact, let's start there. Let's talk about Rex Tillerson and some of what has already been said, again, coming out of Washington, D.C. So Senator Bob Menendez, Democrat from New Jersey, right, said that some of us care about the Western Hemisphere. He asked Rex Tillerson at the confirmation hearings, the Senate confirmation hearings, if he thought that Mexicans are criminal people, drug dealers, or rapists. And what Tillerson said is, I would never characterize an entire population of people with any single term at all. Mexico's a longstanding friend and a neighbor of the country. And he said Trump had good things to say about Mexicans themselves. In fact, Trump did this morning at a news conference. He said, Mexico has been so nice, so nice. I respect the government of Mexico. I respect the people of Mexico. I love the people of Mexico. I have many people from Mexico working for me. They're phenomenal people. And then this is Trump now. He said, while Mexico has taken advantage of the United States, he's saying, I'm not blaming the government of Mexico. It's terrific. And, of course, when he was running, Trump did blame the Mexican government. So now there's a lot of reaction, you know, to that. So he was clearing the air at the news conference. And as for these hearings, Menendez asked whether such comments, which Trump has never repudiated, but seemed to ignore during the press conference, that's what Menendez was saying, would make his job as Secretary of State more difficult. Here's what Tillerson said. He said, we're all going to engage with Mexico because of their importance to the U.S. in this hemisphere, and we have many, many common issues, many common areas of concern. Here's something else that Tillerson talked about, because I think this really is the story of the day, whoever's going to be our next Secretary of State, and he is the nominee, the former Exxon chief. He said when he was asked about China's moves in the South China Sea, he said it's comparable in a sense to what's going on in the Crimea. You know, there's a lot of problems, of course, and we've addressed that and talked to former undersecretaries of defense, etc. Tillerson said the U.S. should have employed, first of all, when he was asked about the Crimea, he said the United States should have employed a military response to the Crimea to keep Russia from acting more aggressively in the Ukraine. Here's the quote. Clearly, the sanctions that were put in place in response did not deter them from entering the Ukraine. Sanctions were going to be insufficient to deter Russian leadership from taking the next step. He was then challenged to clarify what he would he have committed U.S. troops to fight against Russian troops in the Ukraine. And there he said that would not be a first option. But but he explained he would have wanted a Ukrainian military force supported by the U.S., providing them with capable defensive weapons to conduct the operation. So that's what his response to that was. Then China, comparing China, the establishment of the outposts on the reefs and the islands. This is where the debate is. Those islands, if you look at a map and you see a bunch of islands, this is where the tug of war is. Tillerson said that China's efforts to lay claim to some of these islands were illegal actions, and said the island building in South China Sea itself is in many respects like Russia and the Crimea. He said that the U.S. diplomacy was partly to blame because China's activity in the area was extremely worrisome to begin with, and said that the lack of a vigorous response has allowed them to keep pushing the envelope on this. So, and we know where we're at, right? Current president protested the actions in the South Sea, pushed Beijing to abide by the international arbitration process, sent military ships through the international waters in the sea, but nothing else has happened other than that. So Senator Marco Rubio pressed him on the Philippine leader's boast of personally killing drug dealers and other suspected felons. Tillerson said he'd need to learn more about it. Rubio looked astonished, said that, in fact, Rodrigo Duarte had bragged about it himself. Tillerson said he didn't have access to information Rubio had. And you ready for this? This was the zing, one of the zing moments. Rubio said he was quoting the Los Angeles Times. So that's it. I mean, there is one other quick area, and I'll say this one, too. Tillerson was asked about Muslims. Rex Tillerson said he believes that the Trump administration should approach moderate Muslims as allies in the fight against Islamic terrorism, rejected the idea of imposing a ban on Muslims from entering the country, but said he would not stop. He stopped short of denouncing the idea of a Muslim registry. He said, I don't support a blanket type rejection of any particular group of people. So those are your quick hits. And I think it's important to start the show off that way to let you know if you missed it. You know, I'm filling in the gaps for you. This was a big deal. I was watching this, the bits and pieces, and taking a few little quick notes. I wanted to give you the exact quotes from Tillerson. I still think, even if there's a little pushback, that he easily gets approved. I can't believe that the nomination does not go through. By the way, speaking of nominations, we've been talking about this VA secretary spot for a while, and you know veterans are near and dear to my heart, come from a family of people who have served in the military. I did not. My husband was on a ship going after Saddam Hussein. My grandfather, my stepfather, really every male in my family, and some females too as well, have served in the military. So I think this is an important position. All of you think it's an important position. I know you do, of course. President-elect Donald Trump said he's finally settled on a candidate to lead the VA. Who is the candidate? David Shulkin. He's currently the Undersecretary for Health. And Trump said, he was fantastic. He talked to me, said he'll do a great job. And he says this was the right guy to pick. The VA secretary post was one of the two cabinet spots Trump still has to fill. Ag secretary is the other one. All right, hang with us. Coming up, we're diving into the mailbag here on America Tonight.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
All right, let's dive into the old mailbag. And once again, thank you to all of you from the bottom of my heart. This is an audience that really just blows it out of the water when it comes to sending me their thoughts. And if you're listening to me, we have a fabulous new affiliate in Portland, KPAM, terrific call anytime, but of course sending the email is great, and I've gotten some emails from people all over the place, and we've gotten some great reaction to some of the features that we do, like Nail the Score, and I just encourage you to jump on Nail the Score. If you like it and you want to be a part of it, jump on Nail the Score. Next week we will be doing Nail the Score on Wednesday night. I know. I keep moving it around. It's like, I said this before, it's like if you're a senior citizen and you look forward to the weekly special and then all of a sudden they shove the time and the day. We just have to do it that way. So next Wednesday, we will do Nail the Score. And it's like playing bingo on steroids. Well, kind of. We pick the game of the week, our computer does, and then you tell me who you think is going to win and what you think the final score is going to be. In the meantime, let's jump to that mailbag. This one from Jake in Austin. Kate, I was watching the Tillerson grilling on the Hill, and I think the biggest miss for Tillerson was probably he wasn't very familiar with what was going on in the Philippines, and that kind of caught him off guard, but he actually handled it right. He didn't try to make up some excuse or say he knew or any of that kind of nonsense. But he certainly handled the rest of the questions, I think, like a champ. I believe because of his dealings in his company, he will be fine as Secretary of State. Do you think he'll get confirmed? I think he gets confirmed. Is he going to do a phenomenal job? I don't know. I know people that know Rex. I do have to say that. I have a very good friend whose husband, and they were working to try to get him on the show, by the way, who worked for Tillerson and said that he thought he was smart, he thought he did his homework, he thought he could handle whatever was thrown at him, foreign government-wise, was good at dealing with people, was good at surrounding himself with the right people. So, you know, there you go. All right, let's jump to this other one. This one is from Don, listening to us in Illinois. Kate, I know you keep up on the comings and goings in the NFL and in sports in general, besides politics and business. You're aces. In fact, I can't believe someone hasn't, like Fox or somebody else, hasn't tried to rip you off from GCN, but good for the network if they can hang on to you. And I wondered what you thought about Vance Joseph being hired as the Broncos' new head coach. You know, he was on a lot of short lists to be interviewed, and he was interviewed for a couple of jobs. A lot of teams were looking at Vance. And I think that with the system in place there, and John Elway especially, that he'll be great. So good for them that they got him, because there were so many other teams that wanted him. The executive VP of football ops is John Elway. He sent out a tweet saying they'd reached a deal with him. And, of course, for those of you listening, just so you know, his background is he was the Dolphins' defensive coordinator. It's a four-year deal, and he was going to meet with the Chargers. He, of course, canceled that. He had interviewed in Atlanta. He had interviewed – or no, not in Atlanta. What am I saying? He had interviewed with several different teams, and he was like Kyle Shanahan, who's another hot prospect out there. He had made the rounds at a couple of different places. He's in his 40s. He always had the inside track to this. He interviewed with the Broncos before when they hired Gary Kubiak. So it's a win-win if you look at what he was able to do with the Miami Dolphins, and good for him. Good for him for getting that job. Okay, let's move on to another one. This one is from Barry, and Barry talks about this. He says, Kate, you always talk about Mother Nature. Did you see the crazy story about some of those ski resorts that had to be closed because they had too much snow? Is that a shocker? Too much snow? How huge is that? When do you ever hear about that? Isn't it always about trying to make some man-made stuff so that they can stay open longer? Yeah, you know, I've seen this struggle over snow of trying to make that man-made snow. But here's what the scoop is. So this is not all ski resorts. Of course it's not. But California, Nevada, what's going on there? They had this massive snowstorms. I mean, buried in mountains of snow, up to 10 feet of snow this week. So instead of being like a dream for the unbelievable, freaking crazy, I think, snowboarders, they can't do it. Because the snow, with the high winds and the road closures, shut down like the Tahoe ski area in California. They're calling it Snowpocalypse 2017. It also messed up the Kirkwood Mountain Resort in California. It also messed up another Mount Rose Ski Tahoe Resort in Nevada. And it's funny, I was reading some tweets from what people tweeted out. They're saying it's waist-deep snow on the slopes, so they can't risk that. There's also a picture that somebody tweeted out, and what it showed was they opened the front door and snow just came flying in the front door. I mean, just crazy. Blizzard warnings. Mammoth Mountain was open on Wednesday, but it was limited. Now you feel like you're getting like the ski report. He opened the door for me to talk about that. And I've dealt with the man-made stuff. I'll just tell you a quick Kate crazy story. When I was in high school, and I wasn't a big skier, I didn't grow up skiing. I could do some athletic things like anybody else, and I was always gung-ho to try anything. But I got talked into skiing at Killington in Vermont. And, of course, I went on the bunny hills, whatever, and then I thought I was just so good. I was, just flying down those bunny hills. Went on a Black Diamond Trail. I was doing okay. Speed was picking up. Next thing I know, there's people coming toward me. I get a little nervous because they are flying over moguls, you know, those little hills you see in the commercials where people fly up in the air. I don't know. I thought I was Susie Chapstick or something. So I moved over. I moved over to get away from the hot doggy skiers, and I moved over right into a ski pole. I mean, not a ski pole, into a lift line pole. And, oh, it was awful. I was lucky it was just my leg that I smacked into it. So here's the part you want to know about, because it's hilarious now to think about it. But when they get you, the ski patrol, and I'm at sort of the top of the mountain, they come down, they put me in this basket, And then they have to ski me down in this basket. They're just dragging the basket behind them. That was crazy. You have no control, and you're just flying down the mountain, lying down. Oh, I learned my lesson. Like, that was the last time I decided, you know what, I think I really have this skiing thing. And I can't even tell you the last time I've been skiing. I skied a few times since I was in high school. But, yeah, not my thing with people around me, and I can't control how I'm trying to move over, blah, 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 blah. All right, so let's move on to another email. This one is from Hannah, and Hannah says, Kate, how do you honestly think Obama is leaving the White House? I saw where the Chicago Cubs were coming to the White House, and now he's kind of making the rounds, I think, in Washington. He had his last address. Do you think he's taking it well that his second term is over and he's got to make room for Donald Trump? I don't know. I like how you asked me, do you think he's taking it well? Well, of course, I have no inside track on how Obama feels, but living in the White House 2 decades, going back with security detail for the rest of your life, not being the one in charge, I don't know, it's probably a mixed bag. If you're asking me strictly from that point of view, I would say it's a mixed bag. Ever leave a job that you really loved? Have maybe some of you listening to me are of the age where you had a great company, you worked for great people, you ran a company, whatever, and then you hang it up. And it's got to be kind of a strange transition, right? I remember when my mother retired, and people loved her, and she'd worked for 20 years at this one particular place. And she called, and I was surprised because she was such a, not a workaholic, but she, I don't know, she was just good at what she did. So she called me up, and they were throwing her a surprise party, and she's saying, it's just time. You just know when it's time. And she sounded kind of melancholy. But, boy, the second she was done, she was busy doing a million other things, and it was fine. The transition was fine. Now we're talking about, you're asking me about Obama. What does he do? What do you do after you're the president of the United States? For Trump, he just is going to keep going, whether it's 4 years or 8 years. He jumps back into the business he's established with his family. And I don't know what's in store for the current president, what the plans are. Obviously, they're moving out. Obviously, they say they're staying in Washington because of the one daughter. So there you go. Remember, you can always shoot me your thoughts, americatonight.net. It's that easy. I check all the emails and put them on the air. And thank you, thank you, thank you. Hang with us. A couple of great interviews coming your way on the flip side.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with 2 black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Good day, America. Are you tired of your butt cheeks being frozen? Tired of cold hands or cold feet? I'm tired of the cold. Well, there's a new kid on the block. It's Fortress Clothing. Fortress will keep you warm. Fortress does what no other clothing company has ever done. We keep you warm in the cold, even when wet. You heard that right, even when wet. No BS, no gimmicks, work, Play, sweat in the cold, and stay warm. So quit your complaining and go to FortressClothing.com. FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code AMERICA and get 20% off any item. Mittens, jackets, pants, balaclavas, or hot socks. FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code AMERICA. You're going to love being warm all winter long. FortressClothing.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
Was in the news today. Politicians just have nothing to say. They cover up their dirty lies and hope that you go away. Don't waste your time on what is right.
Very excited about our next guest, because boy, do we not talk about this constantly here on America Tonight. Professor Janine Waddell joins us. She's written a book, and you're going to love this title, right? This is like describes the show, what we're talking about constantly. Unaccountable, how elite power brokers corrupt our finances, freedom, and security. We've seen recently what happened with all this FIFA nonsense, and then the Clinton Foundation, what's going on there with, oh, yeah, we're getting money from some foreign, from people in foreign companies. And, of course, yes, Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State. And there's much more than that. I mean, there's so many things that each night we could highlight on this. Thanks so much for coming on, Janine. We appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
So the book, it's really true. This could just totally highlight what we talk about constantly when we talk about politics, but just even kind of world affairs. And I should say you're a professor at George Mason, and certainly this is what you teach. You're an anthropologist and you're a professor at the School of Policy, Government, and International Affairs. Are we at the tipping point with these elite power brokers and seeing all this corruption around us and trying to find the clues as to where it all leads?
Well, it's certainly, this elite corruption certainly is endemic, and it seems to be practiced systemically by these elite power brokers who take on this mishmash of roles in government, business, nonprofits, and media organizations. And the essence of this new corruption is unaccountability, and people around the world, including in this country, have been sensing that something has changed and that something is amiss. And I think that is certainly one reason that we see so much loss in trust in formal institutions, whether it's Congress or the government in general or big banks or the media, people have started quite expressively to show that they are less satisfied than they used to be with formal institutions. And you mentioned the Clinton Foundation. Well, what's new about this new corruption? One key thing is that it's much more difficult to call out, to put your finger on, than is corruption that we're used to hearing about in the media. So we can understand FIFA, we can understand the details of that case pretty easily. There's a human face to it. We see the workers who have been disadvantaged, some of them killed in the process of trying to build these huge super stadiums and so on. We see on TV the arrests of these FIFA officials in a five-star Swiss hotel. We can relate to this. We can put a face on it. But what's more difficult to understand and to put a human face on is the machinations of the Clinton Foundation and Bill and Hillary Clinton, and it's much more difficult to trace exactly how that's working. I mean, we know that this guy, Frank Gustra, a mining executive, donated to the Clinton Foundation. We know that Hillary Clinton, when she was Secretary of State, made decisions that appeared to favor his interests. But how can we actually call it out and sanction the people who are involved in these kinds of shenanigans? It's much more difficult. And that's why this new institutionalized corruption that I write about is so much more difficult to actually put a finger on, and it's so much more insidious and really dangerous in some ways because it's less visible. It's less visible.
I like the way you said it, less visible, and, you know, talking about that unaccountability. And do you think on the other side of this, as you dug deeper into it, is it just the idea that, well, I'm above it, I'm not going to get caught in the middle of this? Is it just become, this is what we do? And I say this with the Clintons, it's kind of like they're Teflon with this whole foundation thing, which in a way is shocking because you would think as you trace that back that there would be some repercussions, but yet nothing.
Well, what I find is that this behavior has become endemic, and it's across the board. It afflicts Democrats and Republicans. It afflicts elites. This seems to be the way they are operating, seems to be the modus operandi of today's top power brokers, and this is a new pattern. I mean, I'm a social anthropologist. I look at people and I look at the patterns that we collectively create with the organizations that we empower and the institutions that we trust or don't trust. And what I see is how things have changed quite dramatically over the past several decades, and most of us haven't even quite noticed it because things have changed so fast and furiously. But the end of the Cold War and the advent of the digital age and massive privatization have broken down barriers and created these new openings for elites to exercise their power and influence in a system that's more complex and opaque than ever. We talk about the information age, being in the information age, but what I find is that we have an information problem with these elite power brokers. Think about a small town. I grew up in a small town. We all know what everybody does, and we know that people play different roles professionally and personally vis-a-vis each other. You babysit your next-door neighbor's kids. The woman you babysit for might also have been your school teacher. Her husband might be the local banker. You know what people are doing and what they're up to. The problem with today's elite power brokers is it's very difficult to parse. I mean, look at the number of investigative reports that have come out with regard to the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah.
And yet, to sort of sort out who is responsible for what and how it works is very difficult. I mean, I recently have been just looking, in my book, Unaccountable, I specify how today's power breakers operate. And one thing is that they employ these boundary blurring strategies. They set up, you know, these overlapping roles. So you've got the Clinton Foundation, it's a nonprofit global initiative. Then you have all the businesses that Clinton advises for, and it's not clear where one ends and the other begins. And then you have celebrity branding, and you enlist others by appealing to their desire to bask in the brand. So you have these annual, Clinton Foundation has these annual dinners that people want to come to. They can bask in the brand, then they can call up favors, call upon favors later on. The Frank Gustra Enterprise, the Clinton Gustra Enterprise Partnership, that's one step removed from the Clinton Foundation, and donations come one step removed to it. So again, it's difficult to parse and sort out. And this is the case whether we're talking about the Clintons and these machinations, or whether we're talking about, say, retired generals and admirals who 20 years ago in this country predominantly used to stop working when they retired, or at least not continue to work in the defense industry. Today, predominantly, they continue to work in the defense industry, and that means that they can sit on a government advisory board and have continued access to classified and inside information at the same time that they're setting up a capital venture company, and they can use the information from that first role on the government advisory board for their own use in the capital venture or in consulting for defense companies. And I have a database of, you know, over 800 data points that we put together and the Boston Globe put together, which shows precisely this pattern. And what does this mean? We, the public, have an information problem. We can't know what those generals are actually, when they're making decisions in the capacity of their private businesses, we can't know whether they're working on behalf of the public, whether they're playing on our team, or whether they're playing on their own team to make money. Same thing with the Clinton Foundation. Same thing with many academic economists who testify before congressional bodies and in the media. I mean, the University of Massachusetts Amherst study found that studied some of the most prominent economists whose names you would recognize and looked at what they were saying in the run-up to the 2008 financial crisis and after, what kinds of proposals and reform proposals they were advocating. And this study found that most of the time when these academic economists were testifying before Congress and pronouncing in the media, they identified themselves, were identified as professors from Harvard or Princeton or Yale or George Mason or what have you. And nowhere was it said, nobody said, and by the way, you know, he's also, or I'm also working for an investment bank. So, again, we, the public, have an information problem. We can't know whether that economist is speaking on behalf of the public, even though that is that's the impression we are getting when he's identified as an academic, or whether there's another agenda at play. So that's what I mean by unaccountable. There is more unaccountability now, unfortunately, built in to our system than there has been at any other time in living memory in the recent past.
Yeah, absolutely incredible stuff. Get it, totally. Especially, like you said, the information age with the amount of information that's slamming into us. All right,
right.
Professor Riddell, thanks so much. Pick up the book, Unaccountable, How Elite Power Brokers Corrupt Our Finances, Freedom, and Security. Thanks so much.
You're most welcome.
Honey, what is that in your CPAP mask?
Oh, that's just my mold collection.
Ew, gross! And what is that?
What, that bacteria colony right there?
Yeah, cool, huh?
Okay, CPAP users, admit it.
You're not always as careful about cleaning your system as you should be. Unfortunately, a dirty mask and hose can make you sick. Respiratory infections, allergy attacks, and more. But now there's an easy way to protect yourself. SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of CPAP germs in minutes. For a limited time, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-944-1065. SoClean is hands-free. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP comes out clean and fresh in minutes. Don't let germs wreak havoc on your health. Call in the next 10 minutes for your risk-free trial. 1-800-944-1065. That's 1-800-944-1065.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if you had no contract, no activation fees, no hidden costs, tracking, tracing, harvesting customer data, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G LTE, GSM, and Sprint networks. Introducing Pix Wireless. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, or unlock GSM phones with Pix and choose from an arsenal of monthly plans or build your own. Starting at only $2.99 per month. Get connected now. Call or click 1-866-205-9513 or PixWireless.com, spelled PIXWireless.com. Pick Pix and get connected today.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, WaterFilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
Did you know your car can be hacked just like your computer or phone? Hackers can hijack the signal of your own key fob to burglarize your vehicle in seconds. The Black Hole Faraday Key Fob Bag is a signal impenetrable shield that stops these hacks in their tracks. Protect one of your most valuable assets. Go to hackproofbag.com. That's hackproofbag.com. And use promo code radio to get 20% off. Or call 805-222-4584. 805-222-4584.
Joined by Diana Buer. She's a Hall of Fame speaker, CSP, check this out, author of 47 books published by Penguin, Random House, Simon & Schuster, McGraw-Hill, just to name a few, published in 60 foreign edition translations, incredible, and she's got clients that consist of more than one-third of the Fortune 500. She must be exhausted. Diana, thanks so much for joining us.
It's great to be with you, Kate.
So I think there is power in story, and we're talking about that, whether it's business, whether it's personal, a combination of both, and it's particularly in writing. I think you're always searching for that story, and you've told a lot of stories. So let's go back to the beginning and your story. How did you start off with that very first book? What did it take?
Well, it's not glamorous. Actually, I just was looking for a way to make a living and staying home with small kids. I wrote an article and sent it off to publication, and they said, can you turn this into a book? So it was just that simple. And I realized that was a fluke, that most people, you know, work at it for years and years and years to get the attention of an agent. But that's how it started. And so I published that one directly by the editor coming to me. But then I decided at that point I was going to go back and get my master's degree. And I got a master's in English literature and then had a specialization in creative writing. And my master's thesis was a novel. And so then I went out with that novel and got a literary agent at that point, and she said, sure, I can sell this. And so she sold that novel. So then I was publishing in both nonfiction from that article that the editor had come to me with, and also from the novel that the literary agent had placed. I was working in both fields.
So you go from that to then all of a sudden you fast forward 47 books. When you write, you obviously, you have a system. Do you have an idea of the story you have in mind? You center so much, of course, around communications. So I'm sure there are people that look at you and say, oh my gosh, how do you get 47 books? Is there that much to say out there? And the answer is there must be, right?
Right. I actually look at the market first. Communication is first a big umbrella. You know, is this everything from you're talking about mass communication and organizations, people don't talk to each other, to personal communication, to relationships. So it's very big, and I work in the business communication, interpersonal skills, cross-functional communication, and teaching writing, business and technical writing, and coaching, presentation skills, et cetera. But I start with an editor coming to me saying, we have people who are asking for this. We have book buyers at Amazon wanting a book on this. I've had them even bring me a title and say, can you write a book to go with this title?
Wow.
Or the agent. That's the benefit of having agents. Agents are circulating with publishers, and they frequently come and say, we have a publisher who wants to publish a book on this title, and they want an expert in this field. Will you write it? So that's what I look for. I also, as a consultant, going into big corporations with a huge problem they want solved, and I think, if this, you know, if Lockheed wants this problem solved, there's probably a lot of large corporations who have the same problem. So I see what my clients are struggling with. So I don't go out saying, I just feel passionate about this topic and I want to write on it. Most of the time it happens the other way. What is the market telling me there is a problem with? And then I go back and say, well, what do they need as a solution? Now, the solution is part of my story because the client and the market may not have ever thought of the solution. That's my job, to bring the solution and that part of the story. But the germ of the idea starts with the market.
Yeah. How tough is it, because obviously publishing has changed so much, how tough is it now to get an agent for people who are listening?
Oh, it's very easy now because the job of the agent has changed so much. They are looking in a different way. We used to think of agents as they just need to shop book, but an agent out there now is looking to help you with your entire career. Their whole position has changed, not just to shop the book, but to help you decide, should I self-publish? Should I go with a traditional publisher? Should I do more work in this field before I even try to publish? So they have become an all-around sort of publishing coach, so to speak. And should I do both? Should I self-publish this and go to a major publisher for this? And in what order? So they're looking for people with a platform to become your lifetime publishing coach. So they're used more and more by publishers to be their middle manager.
So it's better. It's easier. So it's different.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow, interesting. So then you have to know your story. You have to know what you're about, what you're maybe it's not passionate about, but maybe what you're really super great at, and you do have a passion for it, because you have to be able to explain that. You have to know your platform.
Yes, you have to know what you want. It's like going into a shopping center. If you well, there are people who just kind of wander through the shopping center and think, I don't know. They just listen to whatever the store song, you know, whatever song they're playing in the mall, and I wander into the store. Oh, this music sounds good. Let me wander into the store, and they don't know what they want. Once you know what you want, then you know what kind of agent you need, or if you need one at that point. Some people are looking for an agent at the wrong time, and they don't express what they need, and that's why they can't find an agent. You're never going to get an agent if you can't express to them what you need. You know, people call me frequently and say, can you help me have a few questions? And when I say, well, sure, what do you want to ask? They can't form a question. Well, you can't find an agent, just like you can't get a publishing coach. I can't coach somebody if they don't know, you know, what they want to ask. I can't give advice if the person doesn't know what question they have. But it's easy to find an agent if you seem literate and articulate on the phone and say, this is what I have and this is my platform and I'm trying to find out whether I should self-publish or whether I should go this way and this is my goal in my career. And then they can help you. And it's easy to find an agent in that case.
Yeah, wow. So you have to know that, absolutely. Books, are they dead? The old form of books, carrying the book around? It seems like, Diane, I got to tell you, I see a lot of people with books. Maybe I travel too much.
That trend is coming back. There was a time when the new plaything was the device, but print books are coming back. There was a time when e-books were the thing. Sales for the last 3 years of e-books are going down. People just don't want to give away their print book. It's not the same as having a print book in your hand. You can make notes, go back through it, and I know you can do that with an e-book. You can highlight with an e-book and print those out, but the research has been done, the different studies have been done for the last 3 years, and the sales figures, the actual sales figures, tell us that e-book sales, they were steady in 2013. They've gone down in subsequent years, 2014 and 2015. Sales on e-books are going down, print books are going up.
Yeah, how about that? There's a story that circulated that you read every single book on writing in the library, in one of the libraries. Is that true?
On writing? When I started to write the book, the very first book on how to write, I went to the library. This is way back in the day when you couldn't get them on the internet. I actually went to the library and checked out about 50 or 60 books in the back seat, piled them in the back seat of my car, and to learn how to write. You know, Literary Marketplace, Writer's Market, all of those books, how to write a greeting card, how to write articles, and read through about 50 or 60 books in a matter of a month and learned how to write. That was before I went back to school to get my master's degree in writing, creative writing, yes. I did.
Wow. Yeah, that's determination, that's for sure. So if we boil this all down, the 50 or 60 books, the months that you took to read, getting an agent, starting off, jumping in, coming up with your first book, and fast forward to now, what's been your greatest moment to you, your proudest moment in speaking and coaching people, everything? What's the number one moment for you so far?
I think it was publishing a novel. I don't know why that stands out so much more so than nonfiction, but it was publishing that first adult novel. There was just much more respect. There's respect from college professors, literary professors. It was like, oh, you wrote a novel. I mean, there was just something about that. I don't know. And being represented by the largest publishing literary agent in the world, ICM. Those two things. And even if I don't work with that agency anymore. After about 10 years there, I decided to move on when my agent retired from there. But that just seemed to be an accomplishment respected by everyone. So those are good feelings.
So when you go to a party or out somewhere, does everybody come up to you and say, hey, I have an idea for a book?
Yes. And even in your audiences, when you speak, people are always saying, you know, I'm going to write a book when I have time, as if there's nothing to it. People are saying, you know, when I get around to it, when I have time, I'm going to write a book. And, of course, all of us as speakers who've written books know that it's more than when I have time.
Yeah, you got to make the time, that's for sure. Well, we thank you for making the time for us, Diana Boer. What a treat. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. I loved it.
Towers and the traffic lights become eternal angels, staring my soul down, staring my soul down.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.